from a child that has known the scripture, which is made wise in salvation, which is through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now, at the back of this statement, there's a warning of some sort. Look at verse 1, 2 Timothy 3. He says, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, only without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despise of those that are good, traitors, edgy, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, and lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof." Now, having a form of godliness, the word godliness, the word is Sabia, E-U-S-E-B-E-I-A. E-U-S-E-B-E-I-A. Eusebia, when you use Eusebia, you're talking about your response to a deity. So it says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Denying the power thereof from such. Turn away. Turn away. The word turn away is the word apotrepo. A-P-O-T-R-E-P-O. Apotrepo. It means to deflect. To avoid something. So it's not passive. It's something you deliberately do. So it says, when you see those who have a form of godliness, they have a form of responding to God. But it says they are denying what? The power thereof. It says you turn away. Something you do. Verse 6. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and let captives silly, women laden with chains, led away with divers lusts, ever laying and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. So the peculiar character is that they will be learning too. They will be learning. No, we said it in the first track, first session there, where we said that the issue will not be the didaskalia. Right? It's not that they are not learning. They are learning. But they are not coming to the knowledge of the truth. And we will call it music. You know, they will also have Greek words. They will have Hebrew words. They will have everything. But they are not coming to the knowledge of the truth. So not all learning is for growth. Not all learning is for growth. Some learnings have made some people agnostic or apathetic. Agnostic means those who don't know if there is a God. Right? Gnosis. G-N-O-S-I-S. That's knowledge, right? There's gnosis. There's epignosis. Gnosis is knowledge. That is agnostic. Agnostic means, when it's used A, alpha, in the Greek rather. What does it mean? Negative. Thank you. Not. When you say agnostic, that is, they don't know. Right. So knowledge from learning has made some people don't know. Or apathetic. Apathetic means cold. You must beware of where you seek knowledge and from who you seek knowledge. So Paul brings in Old Testament characters in verse 8 when he says, "Now as James and Jabez withstood Moses, so these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the truth, but they shall proceed no further. For their foolish shall be manifest unto them, as they are also who was." Verse 10. But thou art what? Verse 10. We'll proceed further. "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long suffering, charity, and peace." Now, the word doctrine comes first. And that doctrine now explains other things. That is, the manner of life, the faith, the charity, the purpose are actually embedded in the doctrine. Is it making sense? Is it making sense? That is, you have fully known my doctrine. If I was to write that verse, the way I would do it is, you have fully known my doctrine. I'll open the bracket. The right manner of life, purpose, faith, long suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, and afflictions. And I'll close the bracket. That makes sense. So, afflictions, persecutions, manner of life, purpose, faith, charity, they are part. They are core of our learning. That's what I'm saying. They are core of our learning. Again, the word my doctrine is now explained as my manner of life, purpose. The word purpose is intention. Then it says my faith, very important in this case, is what pistis. But even though the word pistis, its usage is quite different here. It says you have fully known my faith. That word faith there implies fidelity. It says someone is fidel. What does it mean? Faithful. Alright, so you have known my faithfulness. That's what I say. You have known my faithfulness. You have known my faithfulness. So Paul says, part of my doctrine is a faithfulness. Faithfulness to what Jesus taught, faithfulness to what the apostles taught, faithfulness to the prophet, faithfulness to the Old Testament. You have known it. You have known my manner of life, the way I conduct myself. You have known my faithfulness. This is what I stand for. You've known my long suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions. That's what makes up a doctrine. Verse 14. But continue thou in what? Eh? In the things that you have learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom thou have learned. The word continue there is the word meno. M-E-N-O. Actually, you know that it's the same word that is used in John 14:16, where it says, I'll pray the Father, and I'll send you another comfort that you may abide with you forever. That word meno. Abide. Abide. Does it make sense? You find in 2 Timothy 2:13. That's the same book. When it says, if we believe not, yet he abides faithful. He cannot deny himself. He abides. No, no. You see it in 2 Timothy 4:20. Eratos abode at Corinth. He stayed at Corinth. That makes sense? That makes sense? I will continue. Back to 2 Timothy 3:14. But continue. So Paul is charging Timothy, whom he calls his son in the gospel. He says, continue the things. That is, you stay there. So, you know, someone misinterpreted this and said, what he was saying is, listen, Paul had taught Timothy. That's what Timothy. Continue. That is, press on God for that knowledge. Continue. That kind of continuous is, you are going to hell. You are on the road to hell. You know, on the wide one. This is a joke. This is a joke. Say that he pulled on Twitter, a white man, that his visa to Nigeria was the easiest. No hassle free. That nobody even had the process was so easy. Someone commented there. Wide is the way that leads to hell. They are giving you visa. You know, no question, just bring your money. You should have suspected. Just a joke. So it says continue. That one continue does not mean you're going to seek any other thing. It's to abide. It's like continue in. So when you see the word end, in, it shows you that it means to remain. It's not going to seek other than so. Those who please God must learn to stay with the truth. So it says stay with the things that you have learned and have been assured of. So it means that you won't go about being a doctrinal snake dog. No? So people, you are not even done learning the word in your church. You're on another WhatsApp group. It's a word that. Truth is, I've never been on such a WhatsApp group before in my life. I've never been on a WhatsApp group where they say they are learning those words. What am I looking for? I created one time. You are there. I deserved it. I didn't remove anybody. I just know I didn't see anything. But that one was even to give them assignments. I don't think it was really, but just to give assignments. Just the way you have your first group. I've never been on a group where someone has said, tonight, we are hosting a man of God in a venue, WhatsApp. I've never. You never find me this. I'm content with what I'm being taught. What I've been taught and what I'm being taught. Yeah, doctrine. You want, your son who are saying, oh, this shit on, you are now teaching on the WhatsApp. Hello, Rabbi. As I was studying yesterday, you didn't lie, you are not studying. You just need the eyes of prophet. As I was studying yesterday, I don't know. You will never know. Obviously, you don't know. I really don't know what. There's something. There is something. Don't be a doctrinal snake dog. You know? No snake dogs. The police use them. You want to arrest, those who be perceived to be criminal. You use snake dogs. Don't be like that. Stay with what you have been taught. You have not finished eating the food in your father's house. The neighbor's soup is calling you. Later, you now eat the neighbor's soup. You have running stomach. And you run back to your father. I say your father gave you. Is the Gary gave you SD Niger during your summer. Meanwhile, Odo Jebusi, Tawa Jebusi. Hallelujah! You know, that's some kind of illustration, but stay. Hallelujah! That's the person that is stay. But you see, and that from the child. Are you using Internet Explorer? And that from the child. That has known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise of salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. You say, from the child, you have known, he said the word known, it means to appreciate. So he says, you have appreciated the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise. All the person which is through faith in Christ. So we see the primary goal of the Holy Scriptures here is to make what? Wise. The word wise is the word sophizo. How much you explain that word? Sophizo. Not in that same verse, that word sophizo is repeated. Is that the word make? To make That one makes it sophizo. From a child, you have no little toy, which is able to sophizo. You sophizo the Holy Spirit, salvation through Jesus Christ. Ah. That one make is sophizo. Then the word wise is sophizo. So we can say sophizo is the way you are built up. It's smartness, it's skillfulness, because you find it used in 2 Peter 1, when Peter says, you have not followed cunningly devised table. That word is smart, something that is craft, something that is, you know, intelligent. So, what he says, what scripture does is that it makes, it builds you unto salvation through faith in Christ. So that's wisdom, that smartness is a building. It's an empowerment, as it were. Does it make sense? So you understand the word wise better now, Abby. It's the way you build something up. So that guy is built up to understand tech. That is, he has been trained to understand tech. So you can say he's smart in tech. Yeah? Right? So it's the same word. So sophizo is the way you build something up. That's why I say you are not following something that is built up. Something that is cunningly crafted. Something that is built up smartly. Right? So he says, when you appreciate the Holy Spirit, what he does is that what? It builds you up. Unto salvation through faith in Christ. Again, the word unto is a primary preposition. The primary preposition. So a better rendering for it would be what? For. Let's look at the word unto in that same book. In the same letter. 2 Timothy 1:11. The word unto. Once you look at that word unto. 2 Timothy 1:11. Whereunto I am a preacher of and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. Now we say, for I am, like this, for this I am. That makes sense. Would that be appropriate? Come on. Would that be appropriate? If I remove that unto there, if I say, wherefore I am, would that make sense? Alright. Also look at the 2 Timothy 2:14. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord. That they strive not about words, to no profit. That is, can we say for no profit? Come on, can we say, and strive not for words for no profit, Alright. 2 Timothy 2:20. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but of wood and of earth, and some, can we say some for honor, and some for dishonor, If we have it correct, that's the word unto, the word eyes, E-I-S. So the pronunciation is eyes, not E-I-S. E-I-S is an Edonian. Eyes, E-I-S in the Greek. Alright, so it can sufficiently be replaced with four. Right? Look at 2:21. If a man purge himself of these things, he shall be a vessel for honor. Verse 25. Okay? What to go? In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will what? Give them repentance for the acknowledge of the truth. Now, that word two is better put for. Now again, listen at this very well. God is passing. God is not the one that will give them repentance. The repentance is their acknowledgement of the truth. 2 Timothy 2:25. In meekness, you will instruct those that oppose themselves. You already mentioned an example, Philippians 2:9. Abi? He now says, if God peradventure will give them repentance. Now that's a passive statement. That is for the acknowledgement of the truth. No. He's saying that's what I'm told. The word told there is what for. When they acknowledge the truth, it doesn't mean God will give them repentance. No. The repentance is that they acknowledge the truth, they change their mind. Does that make sense? Can you see how God can be used passively? If you are reading that normally, you would have thought that God is giving some people repentance, he's not giving some people repentance. But that's a lie. That's a lie. But we see the word told there, that actually means 4. 2 Timothy 4:11. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee. For that word for is profitable. To me, for the ministry, that word for there is the word is or eyes. Is. Eyes. Verse 18, chapter 4, verse 18. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom. Can we say, he will preserve me for his heavenly kingdom? Alright, go back to 2 Timothy 3:16. Or 15 rather. Go, now let's replace it. From a child, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, right? Which are able to build you for, or make thee wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ. Would that be proper? Alright. So what the Old what the Old Testament scriptures does is that it builds a man or makes a man smart for salvation. I didn't say it makes you as smart salvation. I didn't say it makes you as smart salvation. I said it makes you smart for. So the smartness and skillfulness of a minister in the subject of salvation will be found in what? In the way he appreciates the Holy Scriptures. Again, the appreciation is a function of doctrine. Right? Right? At least the way he appreciates it is that he explains. He explains. And that explanation, we see the way it's done and what it produces. It produces reproof, correction, and spiritual growth. So when I embrace the persuasion, listen, when I embrace the persuasion and correction of the Old Testament, what will be best? Eh? Growth. Thank you. That's it. So we must embrace the correction and the persuasion. Well, as we said earlier in the first session, that as we journey in the Old Testament, we are going to see two things. Romans 15:4. What are we going to see? The patience of God and what? The paraclesis, the comfort of God. And what would that produce in us? Hope. Thank you. An expectation of what? Of Christ. Of the Christ. Of one who would suffer and enter into his glory. That's why I just interrogated them now. Ought not. That is, if you had perused, you had perused the patience and the comfort of God in the Old Testament, you would have arrived at the hope of the glory to come. You have arrived at the suffering and the glory. That makes sense? Alright. So, verse 16. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Let's stop there. He says the scripture is given by the inspiration of God. That means the scriptures are not for your inspiration. The scripture is already inspired. Remember who says, inspired? See, this is the way some people take scripture. They actually think it's inspiring them. You know what inspired means? Have you pushed a car before? A car that stopped. Eh? You push it where it's going. What is the essence of the pushing? To inspire. That's a better way. Yeah? And yourself, like, remove leg for it. Remove leg onto it. That's an inspiring to move. As I'm pushing it. If you're a white person, you're not in a game, I don't understand what we are saying. But just for inspiration. No, you get what I'm saying? So, that's the way some people treat the scriptures. They think, they just pick a verse. Then they go on their own. It has inspired them. Then they move on their own. No. That's not what the scriptures are for. The scriptures are already inspired. What you do is you take revelation from them. You explain the inspiration. Is it making sense? Eh? Alright. That's the error of many people. To think that the Old Testament book is to inspire them to preach. No. So you now read Moses and Pharaoh and Pharaoh. You don't know what else is coming after. What Pharaoh said, what Moses said. Who is the Pharaoh of your life? That's an idiot. Who is the Pharaoh of your life? Who does he think he is? The Bible says, just match some things like DJ. The Egyptians see them, you see them no more. You will see them no more. And the God of God says, you will see them no more. I will see them no more. Let's go. Something else is coming to my head. It has to come. They inspired you again. Demons. Look at that. Let's see. That's the second prayer point. The first one is Moses and Pharaoh. I've been in a deal as a teenager when they use that as three prayer points. Number one. Who is that person that says you don't let him go? Who does he think he is? Your God is powerful. Today, tonight, he will let his people go. No, he has let them go. Pharaoh. There's no Pharaoh in you. Hallelujah. There has been an exodus. Hallelujah. With the fear of your love. He's thinking that he's going to have power. You will see them no more. You will see them no more. And then, after praying for that, like 15 minutes. Let's read again. They got to the rest. Well, what is that rest? A job that is not paying you well. The sickness of a child. You don't have job. You don't have husband. A husband is something mysterious to get. You don't have wife. What is the rest? It shall pass. Your job will pass. Your unemployment will pass. You're getting money here. It will pass. Oh, you pass. After 15 minutes.
They crossed the Red Sea, hallelujah, we have crossed. And they got in the Red Sea, they were hungry. But manna came. Ah, where's my manna? Can you be inspiration? One senior. Where's my manna? Oh no! Manna, calm down, manna, calm down. See back up. Can you see how to use scriptures for inspiration? Someone is not explaining Shingayo. He does not care what he's saying. He does not care what who Pharaoh is or what manna is. He already has what he wants to say. The prayer points have been written, whether you like it or you pray. That is an example of using scripture for your inspiration. The scriptures are already inspired. He says, all scriptures given by the inspiration of God, they are already inspired. What you do is you enter into the inspiration. You delve into the inspiration and you bring up the ark of God. Down the right divided. Somebody took it. Or Abraham and Isaac. My brothers and sisters in the ark. Hey! He just takes one sacrifice. He takes just one sacrifice. So do what? Just takes one sacrifice. That's the today. Abraham took his Isaac. As he walked to where? You remember that Abraham was already rich? He was not sowing Isaac to be rich. So what, where is your Isaac? I'll drop it. And I'll collect my Isaac back. Because Abraham collected his Isaac back. Right? Not just that, there was meat supply. You must supply me meat today. I must see a ram. They must be having Salah every Sunday. Since we'll be dropping our Isaac every Sunday. Ram must be showing you on the altar. Your own altar, not yours. Hallelujah. Big inspiration. You build from the places where men are not seeing. People don't have to see you when you are training. David was tending the flock. My brothers, David was what? Gullible congregation. Tending the flock, sir. He was telling the flock. But when God has prepared something for you, it might look like a battle, but it's your breaking point. Tell your neighbor, I've gotten my breaking point. He got to the battlefield. He got there. He said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? You must be able to confront the enemy. You must be able. You must confront. Don't keep quiet. Don't face your giant with your mouth shut. So kind of kaya. Don't face the giant with your mouth shut. Bible says, he now took 5 stones. He took 5 stones. My brethren, 5. You must be deliberate. You cannot just be picking any stone. You are prepared. In case one stone does not hit, you pick another one. Not that you are just bending down to pick stone. Careful preparation prevents poor performance. You prepare 5 stones. One of them, you pick another. My brethren, the next step, you run towards the giant. Bible says, Moses ran towards the circumstances. You run. Brethren, are you running? My level is good. Are you running? Are you running? Run on! No fear here. No fear here. Happy yes, that's the answer. What? No fear here, sir. No fear here, sir. That is inspiration. It's the giant. When he dies, don't forget to give the glory to God. He's the Lord of hosts. Rich. And it's the eye sounding nonsense. Intellectual rubbish. When you are saying rubbish with paresia, with so much confidence that the devil can join you. Wow. It's a mixed breed. Hallelujah. Or Esther. Does not matter your background, but let your back not be on the ground. Your background does not determine your future. Your family does not determine your future. Let's don't let your background put your back on the ground. You are made for much more. That was the teaching here. Yeah, made for much more. Look at Esther. Let's look. Yeah, show us. The top of the slave. There are nobody in the land. Okay, so we are nobody now, right? You agree that we are nobody? We agree. But the king. the king, your king is coming. Your king is coming. How many do you think you want to marry? Just one Esther. How many are we in this church? I'm about that the king was sampling them. You know what's happening? The king sampled Esther. That's their own tradition. Yes. Who is your boss? Who is your boss? The boss of your life. That's the way you just say rubbish. With so much confidence. Don't eat your time. Adam ate his side, and that was the wala. you don't eat your time. You don't eat it. As everyone in the house passes, there's a seed time and harvest. Your harvest is here. Your harvest is here. Your harvest is here. Shout it! But as by inspiration, all scripture, get back to scripture, and not given for inspiration. They are already given by the inspiration. You know, sometimes those things may appear in the natural, like a skill, like the person has a skill in linking information. Especially when it's someone that can talk. The only limit you create, the only limit you have is the one you create for yourself. Fly as a bird. Free as freedom. This Sunday is the best you will ever be. I'm working to the best. I had no better yesterday. I walk. And everybody knows this. When you get home, you eat like a king. Wamuga Elasa. Start cultivating the habit of a king. Get chicken. Stop saying, have it tomorrow. Get the chicken. You now get the chicken. Next day, Pastor Shimodi Shandi. Shimodi Shandi. That is the thing there, I guess. Shimodi Shandi, man. Essential knowledge. No, professors still take brains and they call it the body of Christ. And he's a professor. And you wonder, wait, who even gave you the degree? A professor. Because knowledge in the natural does not translate automatically to knowledge to revelation knowledge. So the scriptures are not for inspiration, they are already inspired of God. Written by men of God for men of God to teach. The scriptures are already inspired of God. Written by men of God for men of God to teach for correction and conviction. So great is achieved. Psalm 3:16. All scripture is given. That is, all that is written is given and is profitable. The word useful, right? Opelelos is useful for teaching, not quoting. How did Jesus undo the Old Testament books? How did he undo the Old Testament scripture? Luke 24, verse 25. All fools and slow of hearts. This upon their doubt whether he was raised from the dead or not. Then he says, all fools and slow of hearts to believe all that the prophet has spoken. Again, we said, the prophet, right? I love the way someone said, he said, it was spoken and written. It's like written and spoken. But the prophet spoke, verse 26. Here comes the interrogation. Ought not, remember that word, series 1, right? An obligation. Ought not Christ to have suffered this thing and to enter into his glory. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he was expounded unto them. We said the word expounded is the word diamenio. D-I-E-R-M-E-N-E-U-O. It means to explain thoroughly. It is not quoting. It is interpretation. It shows that our primary approach to the Old Testament is not to quote. It is to explain. It is to explain. You know, sometimes you can even, the epistles can be quoted sometimes. Because they are already explained. Now, I'm not saying you quote it though. I'm saying sometimes they are already explained. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. But that which is edifying to thee. Right? That's explained already now. Right? But you know, that is actually the Old Testament. That is the Old Testament. That's Isaiah. Is it making sense? But, when you approach the Old Testament scriptures, what your primary aim must be to explain, not to quote. Must be to explain. That's what Jesus did. That means Jesus would take things from the Old Testament, and then he would interpret them. Again, that is how to undo the Old Testament. By interpretation. It's sufficient for me to say that interpretation is not suggestion. You don't suggest what it should mean. I think, I got a day someone came to me and said, wow, thanks for teaching me. What is the teaching? I only sat him down for about 2 hours. And he thought I have explained the entire Old Testament to him. 2 hours teaching. How long have you been in that prophet? He's like, how many hours? Sorry. The other prophet has been over, let's say, 25, 30 hours. And we still have series 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 view. And he thought I'm done. Like, yeah. And then came back to me and said, wow, thanks for teaching. In fact, the one of the best teachers said, now I just give this. You know, I could not have my laughter. I just gave a smack. Really? I just see Jesus in everything. He is the lion. He is the rock. The water. The Passover. The Red Sea. You know? You're running mad. You are seeing Jesus in everything. I just see him. Thank you for opening my eyes. I'm not going to open your eyes to zero vision. That's what you get when you are not interpreting but suggesting. Oh my God, Jesus for everything. You see a leaf in the wilderness. Ah, it's a leaf of life. Wow, Moses is bursting of his robe. He holds our lives together. You know what he said? And Moses commanded them 40 pack of sand. 40. Just commanded for 40 days. Interpretation is not suggestion. You interpret. There's a thin line between interpreting and suggesting. And that's why some have said that what we call the Pauline theology, that is false nuance and false suggestions. But looking at it thoroughly, you will see that it's actually interpretation. Which you will see. It's actually interpretation. Alright? So, Paul's theology, you know, is a scholastic handling of the Old Testament. I can say that with no apology. It is scholastic handling of the Old Testament from many mouths. Really. There was nothing Paul taught that was not found in the Old Testament. Nothing. That's it again. Nothing. From the gift of the Spirit, I can show you where the Old Testament talks about interpretation of tongues, the discerning of spirits, word of knowledge, word of everything Paul taught from the Old Testament. So when they talk about identification, we in Christ, Christ in us, is in the Old Testament. Paul's ministry gifts. Let me say it very well. Not yet. Paul's ministry gifts. When he talks about a pastor, a deacon, it's from Moses. It's Moses that gave ministry gifts. Hallelujah. And so, when Paul is telling you something, you sit down and you take the seat of the learner. You are the learner here. Hallelujah. Praise God. So it says, beginning at Moses. Luke 24, 27. Again, it's interpretation suggestion. You don't start suggesting unless you be like, that my brother, I see Jesus. It's you are everything. Everything is you. I said, get it back. Let us sit down. I almost mentioned this earlier. Alright, so, verse 27, Luke 24. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expanded the terminology of the Spirit and said, we said this is the proper Bible study manner, right? Right? You begin at Moses. He said he expounded, which means to explain thoroughly. He expanded them in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. Now let's say that even though this is the first Bible study that was quite exegetical means line by line explanation, you proper explanation. E-S-E-G-E-T-I-C-A-L. You don't see I'm speaking too much in grammar. Even though this is the first Bible study really, but Jesus had always been teaching and interpreting the Old Testament. I don't agree with that. We saw one in the first session now, where he interpreted light and darkness. Was that in Luke 24? Yes. No. That was not in Luke 24. Right? But he didn't interpret the Old Testament. So there are quite a number of times that Jesus actually interpreted the Old Testament. And it was only before. That makes sense. But what we want to see is his manner of approach. And his didache. So we now know how to handle light. Again, remember that every prophet quoted Moses. Right? So when you see a prophet mentioning light, your mind should first go to God. This is not Moses. The message of the gospel. Before you now, is this literal or is this guy following Moses? You make sense? The same thing when you see darkness. You make sense? So when you see arise and shine, what's in view? The gospel. You make sense also? That is that everybody take their own, they take their diction and vocabulary from Moses. Is he making sense? We are looking. So, let's look at Jesus. We said Jesus is the explainer of the Old Testament. Let's see an example of where he explained it. Matthew 19. This session is quite short. Matthew 19, verse 1. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished the saying, he departed from Galilee and came into the coast of Judea beyond Jordan. And great multitudes followed him and he healed them there. Verse 3. The Pharisees came and said unto them, tempting him. I say unto him, is it lawful for a man to what? To put away his wife for what? For every cause. Thank you, Jesus. Very simple question. Verse 4. And he answered and said unto them, have you not read? That word read is the word anagnosko. A-N-A-G-I
N-O-S-K-O. A-N-A-G-I-M-O-S-K-O. I'll just give you words used in the entire New Testament. Are you ready? Ready for that? Matthew 12:3, Matthew 12:5, Matthew 19:4, Matthew 21:16. You can just check that out. All these references. Matthew 21:42, Matthew 22:31, Anagenosko, Matthew 24:15, Mark chapter 2 verse 25. Basically, most of the things mentioned in Matthew were repeated in Mark. That makes sense. Most of the parables he gave and all, he said, have you not read, have you not read? For example, this issue of have you not read, Matthew 19, it was repeated in Mark 10. So, you see what I'm saying? It's just repetition of the four gospel account. Mark 2:25, Mark 12:10, Mark 12:26, Mark 13:14, Luke 4:16, Luke 6:3, Luke 10:26, Luke 19:20, John 19:20, Acts 8:28, Acts 8:30, Acts 8:32, Acts 13:27. Remember Acts 13:27? Paul Simon. That's the other prophet too. He says, because they did not know him, nor the voice of the prophet, which they read every Sabbath day. And I did not. Alright. Acts 15:21, Acts 15:31, Acts 23:34, 2 Corinthians 1:13, 2 Corinthians 3:2. You are our epistles, read of all men. Remember that, Abby? Now, the epistles, written up with the tables of sin, right? Yes. 2 Corinthians 3:2. 2 Corinthians 3:15. Very vitally. This one, we'll open this one. Ephesians 3:4. Very vital. Whereby, when you read, that's our verse 3 says, out of thy revelation, he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote upon a few words. Whereby, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of God. So that means reading precedes understanding. When you use anagnosko, anagnosko means thorough reading, paying attention to details. That makes sense. So say when you pay attention to details, you will understand my knowledge in the mystery of God. When you pay attention to the details, does it make sense? So anagnosko is used for something you read and read again. Really, it's not really about the repetition in reading. It's about the attention you pay to it. So we saw Ephesians 3:4, right? Colossians 4:16, 1 Thessalonians 5:27, Revelations 1:3. Revelation 1:3 is where you will have blessed is he that reads of this book. Revelation 1:3 and Revelation 5:4. So anagnosko implies to pay attention. Back to Matthew 19. Back to Matthew 19. So they asked him in verse 3. Again, what was the question? Is it lawful for what? For a man to put away his wife for what? Every cause. That's a silly question. Then he asked them what? Have you not what? No. Put it in anagnosko now. Have you not paid attention to the details that he which made them at the beginning made them what? Male and female. That's fine. Now, when he says, he which made them at the beginning, that's where. Genesis, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Genesis. Then he says, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. Now pay attention, please. They are no more two, verse 6, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man put asunder. He is a let no man. Right? Let not man. They are no longer two, but one flesh. He's about to explain Genesis. So you pay attention. He's the chief explainer. Remember? So he says, they are no more two, but one flesh. What God has joined together, let not man put asunder. The question is now, what did God join together? Right? Genesis 2:24. Put one hand in Matthew 19, verse 1 by Genesis 2. Verse 24. Can we read together? Want to go? Therefore, shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall what? And they shall be what? Hey. Now, is Jesus that I put his own and say, what God has? You know that's not in Genesis. Come on. Is that in Genesis? So what would that be? What would that now be? There is an explanation, but to be primarily what? You probably an interpretation. I know it's an explanation. An interpretation is an explanation. But what I'm saying is, his own interpretation of Genesis 2:24. He now gives you what God has done together. You will see that in Genesis. Moses is not like that. Even though he intended it. Observe it. So it says, shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Again, Jesus' submission in that, on that is now that they are one flesh, and God did that. Listen, though. Again, what did Moses give? Adam, Eve is who? Eve is from where? Adam's ribs, right? Right? According to Moses. Adam's where? Ribs. I have no time. Eve was from Adam. That is what God has joined together. Let not man put asunder. Jesus looked at that verse, and what he will say is that God joined them together. Was he talking about marriage? The question is, why did God create Eve? If you say apple, I will vote you. Because I think we've dealt with that both in Daniel the prophet and salvation through faith. Except you are just rebellious. You can't be airport. She doesn't hear, obviously. Why did God create? 2 Timothy 3:15. All scriptures from a child have no doing your wisdom to make you wise unto what? So, when Moses is writing all this one, what is in his mind? Eh? Marriage or salvation? That's all. So, if you are there reading, they are who? So, Genesis 22:24, you are first lost. It is zero. Kotobere, it is zero in chapter 2 already. You are zero in chapter 1. So, when he thought he was creating the earth, you have zero in chapter 2. You are now going to be Adam and Eve. The very ridiculous sessions in church Sunday morning. Who is your leader? 7 characteristics of your spouse. You will be his rib of his rib. You will be a rib of his rib. That means, textbook, the stand, all these homogeneous. You guys will click. His rib is missing rib. I don't have missing rib. Everybody say, well, come and say, I will kill you. Be me, just call my rib. It's a joke, right? I don't kill you. It's because I'm in my better half. Yeah, I'm not half. I'm complete in Christ. Colossians 2:10. I'm complete. Glory to God. He made me whole. I'm talking to my better half. Go to Genesis here. Go to Genesis. Better half. Glory is the ligament of your ligament. The muscle of your muscle. Again, what did Moses have in mind? Salvation. Moses is not a marriage counselor. He's a preacher of the gospel. And so, we need to investigate Eve. Who do you think will bail us out? We are coming from Jesus. We are going to Moses. Who do you think we should go to? Thank you. I know it's because it's in the dimension of Paul. Thank you for mentioning it. Paul! That's the way Paul will now bail us out. And you see that he's a rebel. Ephesians 5. Paul! The man Paul. I mean, Paul should be studied. I need to worship. I just studied. I mean, Paul. There's an intelligence that came with him. The way he wrote it. The way he puts it together. I mean, how can someone read that and then observe? We will now see the masterpiece I'm talking about. Everyone has written their own. Verse 22. Wives, submit yourself unto your husbands. As what? As unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife. Even as what? And it's the same as the wife. Now, which is more superior? In the comparison, which is more superior? No, according to him, don't be religious. According to what he just wrote now, which is more superior? Which comparison? Christ and the church. Because he says, husband, wife, submit your husband. Even after this, that's the reference point. As what? Even as what? Even as Christ is the head of the church. So, again, Moses' husband and wife will be primarily what? Christ and the church. No, let's go on. Verse 24. Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, that is an iron reference again. So, we have a reference. We have a more strong word of the prophet. So, let wives be to their own husband in everything. Husbands, love your wife. Even as Christ was, loved the church and gave himself for it. That he might what? Sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. that he might present it to himself in glorious sweat. Who had no spot, wrinkle, or any such thing? Is he a glorious sweat there? Alright. But that he should be holy and without blemish. So, ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loves his wife loves himself. For no man ever yet ate his own flesh, but nourish and cherish it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh and his bones. For this cause, shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become what? One flesh. This is a great mystery. What a mystery. Something that needs to be explained. This is a great mystery. What needs to be explained? But what? So, behind the writing of Genesis 2 was what? Christ and the church. Making sense now? Go look at verse 28. That says, men ought to love their wives as their own body. He that loves his wife loves himself. Does that make sense now? You know, Eve is the body of Adam. You know why it has to be from his. Moses is an intelligence writer. He knew what he was communicating. So you know why it's from Adam. You know the church is also the body of Christ. Show you that day. Is Eve Adam's body? Is the church the body of Christ? So behind the entire drama of Adam and Eve is what? Christ and the church. This is a great mystery. But I speak to you about Christ and the church. So why the Pharisees will be going to verse Matthew 19? Will you come back to Paul? Why the Pharisees will be going to Genesis 2, and all they will see is woe and bane. Should a man put his wife away? What did Jesus say about it? What do you think it was Jesus' explanation? Wait. When you marry someone, you become one flesh. I've not married to God. I know you don't become one flesh. One flesh is talking about union. Inseparable union. That's what one flesh means. So he says, go back to Matthew 19. So Jesus told them, have you not read? That's why it says, for this cause a man leave his father and his mother, and the two shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more two, but one flesh. Is this Adam? So, can it be that Adam and Eve is one flesh? Just like Christ and the church is one flesh. In Ephesians 1, Paul calls Christ the what? The head. That's why he says, as you know, the exceeding greatness of his power to us all who believe, the power which he wrought in Christ and raised from the dead, and said, in his own light and in heavenly place. Far above all principalities and power and everything that is named, not only this world, but also in that which is come, and put him to be the head over all things to the church, which is what? His body. The fullness of him that filled all in all in you. Does it make sense? Alright, so, Christ is the head, we are the body, one flesh. So, he is Adam, one flesh. So, why they were busy like that? Look at Jesus' explanation, verse 6. Wherefore they are no more two. It's not talking about marriage. Is that clear? But what God has joined together, let not man put asunder. What did God join together? Christ and the church. Let not man put asunder. The word asunder is not chorizo. C-H-O-R-I-Z-O. C-H-O-R-I-Z-O. Chorizo. It means to go away or to depart. Again, the departing, will it be to depart from the union? No. The union is already an inseparable union. One flesh. I told you that one flesh means something that cannot be divided. Something that cannot be. So, the asunder will be where? How will man put asunder? No, not in disobedience. He will depart from the body of truth. From that truth, that is an inseparable union. So, the moment you preach that a believer can lose salvation, what have you done? Whatever that's done together, you are putting asunder. The moment you say, you are going to hell. Someone who is going to watch us. What are you doing? What God is going together? You are putting asunder. The asunder is a message. It's not a gossip trying to interpret your house. It's not a verse you quote on marriage money in the church. You are against this in the raise of your hand. It will be what God has done together. Let no man put asunder. That's not it. Again, can we say, let no man put asunder. That asunder would be a false gospel. That gospel that Paul said in Tarasso. Alright. God in man, one with him, we must not depart from that form of explanation. And so why they stayed with Kanema, you know, listen very well, I beg you. What was that question? Can a man put away his wife? And Jesus, you are bringing it from Genesis.
What did he do? He quickly corrected the narrative. God does not leave us. So don't put us on that.
That song is making sense right now. What God has done again, let not man put us on that. He that is joined to the Lord. Hey, now you see. Epignosis.
Can you see how to approach the Old Testament? Glory to God. So, the asunder will be a common generation. What God has joined together is what we have in the gospel. God in man, for man, with man, forever. In that day you will know, John 14, verse 20. I am in my Father, you in me, and I in you. Did Jesus say that? Yes. Did he say, I will send you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever? John 14, 16, 17. Again, that's what God joined together. Jesus taught it well. John 17, verse 21. I close. John 17, verse 21.
Hear something?
That they may be one. Now let's move from verse 16, verse 20. May not pay high for this enough. For them, but for them also shall believe me through their word. So he's praying for his disciples, then says, not just for my disciples, but for all those who actually believe me also. Verse 21. That they all may be one, as our Father art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be what? One in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory that which I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one. Verse 23, together everybody, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and thou hast loved me. That was lovely. That makes sense? That makes sense? You, me, and you. So Jesus taught that. And that's why he taught at what the Lord has joined to them. That's marriage. I'm sorry. So, again, the man Paul comes again. After he has exegeted it all in Ephesians. You know, he's the one that really built everything else now. About Christ and church. Because Jesus was limited to his audience, really. Jesus would have done it. But, you know, the chief explainer. Paul took that narrative in Ephesians 5 from Jesus. He must have seen that what God has joined together. That can be either man. Because Ahab had a Jezebel. Right? Samson had a Delilah. Are you saying God is joining all those things together? Boaz and Ruth. What was I God? Everybody gets married. Believer, unbeliever, atheist, agnostic, apathetic. Distance. Anybody can get married. This is very easy. Just slide into the DM. Abi? That's what they're doing. Don't think that. It can be. That can be what God joined together. And so Paul took his narrative from there and says, this is Christ and the church. And when Jesus, the words of Jesus now helps us understand better. See, in that day you will know that it's an inseparable union. I mean the Father, you are in me, I in you. That's an inseparable union. He says, if any man keep my words, John 14, 23, myself, my Father will come and will make our abode with him. That is what the Lord joined together. And so, man must know what? Man must know what? You mean that man will go out of the union? No. He has one as well. Paul's gospel is a message. The moment you start teaching something otherwise from God and man, that man has to run to God. The moment you start teaching that heaven is a goal that you are trying to get to, what's that? You are putting asunder. Hallelujah. Let's see Paul. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I'll close on this. Verse 14. And God had both raised up the Lord and also raised us up by his own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Just like Eve was a member of Adam. Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? Not so, God forbid. What? Know ye not that he that is joined to an harlot is one body? For who it is shall be one flesh. Sorry, please. The allot here. Is it fornication in the natural? Have you seen someone sleep with the positive than in their one body? What can he be talking about? I told you fornication means to what? To seek another. Right? You have something and you seek another. So what is he saying? He that seeks another God, another message, right? You become one with that. And he's that the spirit of that God or whatever, which is non-existent, really, there's just one God. To become yours, you know, says, he has joined an allot with one body. Some people use this for fornication. I'm not saying people should fornicate. I'm not saying that's what I'm saying. But don't put us on that. Shall be one flesh. Verse 17. But he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at verse 19. I'll read verse 19 together. What do you go? What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which are of God, and you are not your own. Hallelujah. He that has joined to the Lord, that is what called, what Jesus called, what the Lord has joined together. He's talking about the believer and his Christ, the Spirit of God in man. God in man is what the Lord has joined together. So in the reading of the Old Testament, there are details that are worthy of our attention. See the way Jesus exegeted that Genesis 2:24. My simple question, shall a man put away his wife? It made them understand that no, God does not leave us. You don't put asunder. Again, their question was in the natural. But just like Jesus now, as usual, it is supernatural. It comes from the proper and the better view. It's another angle. So we see where Jesus exceeded it. Did Paul go out of the boundaries of Jesus? What did he do? He just had more narratives, he had more explanation. Alright.